One scheduling note before we start the episode. This is the last Ann Arbor story of 2016. Thanks for your patience while we've been on break, recharging, researching, and getting ready for another season of great stories written and read in a workmanlike manner with impeccable sound production and musical choices. We'll be back on January 5th with an all-new Ann Arbor story that you won't want to miss. Have a safe and happy holiday season. This is Ann Arbor Stories. I'm Rich Reddy. It's common knowledge Santa lives at the North Pole. That's where the big man and Mrs. Claus reside year-round, with an army of elves and a herd of immortal flying reindeer. What's less clear is where Santa's helpers live. I'm talking about those mall Santas, those sidewalk Santas, those drunk idiots dressed in road salt and chicken wing sauce stained Santa suits, leaning against telephone poles, urinating into the street during SantaCon. There are always a few bad apples in the bushel, but most of Santa's helpers are great people, guys and gals, and as it turns out, Ann Arbor used to have one of the best. Our Santa's helper was so good that four U.S. presidents praised his work. So did governors, senators, congressmen, essentially any elected official looking to shake hands and smile into the camera around Christmas time. With much pomp and circumstance, our Santa's helper was once presented with the key to the city of Ann Arbor, then the key to the city of Detroit, then the key to the city of Washington, D.C. I told you he was a big deal. Newspapers, magazines, TV, they covered him coast to coast, including a two-page spread in Life magazine in 1956. His name was Albert F. Warnhoff. He loved being called Santa's helper. He lived at 1315 Franklin Boulevard in the 4th Ward on Ann Arbor South Side, a ho-ho-ho from Pioneer High School. It was there, in his basement workshop, that Albert worked most nights and weekends, making toys for sick, crippled, and handicapped kids in Ann Arbor and surrounding communities. We're not talking a few dozen toys, or even 100. Over 58 years, Albert turned out more than 41,000 toys in the name of Old Saint Nick, delivering them by hand to kids all over the state. But why? It's worth exploring Albert Warnhoff's murky origin story. He was born March 5th, 1890 in the Netherlands, and moved to Ann Arbor when he was one. By all accounts, he grew up a kind kid, good with his hands. But the story of these early years in Ann Arbor is a little fuzzy. When Albert was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, accounts vary, a curly-haired 5-year-old neighborhood girl got his attention. She was very sick with diphtheria, a nasty infectious disease that causes severe sore throat, fever, a terrible barking cough, and in some cases can attack the heart, nerves, and kidneys. Even today, the fatality rate can be as high as 20% for children 5 years old and under. Things didn't look good for this little curly-haired girl, but Albert wanted to help. His dad suggested he buy her a doll, or make one. "You're pretty handy," his dad said. So that's what Albert did. It's not clear what he made, but the experience changed Albert's life forever. Her appreciation wowed the young boy, as did the doctor's assertion that around the time she received the toy, she started on the road to a full recovery. Albert Warnhoff, the young miracle worker. From that moment on, Albert decided to make toys for sick kids who needed cheering up. He got to work making a handful of toys the following Christmas, and the Christmas after that, and the Christmas after that. Decades passed. Albert working in a little workshop in relative secrecy, making toys, delivering them to sick and crippled kids, just a few dozen at first, which he made on Sundays after working 6 days a week at the Fingerly Lumber Company, earning $3 a week of take-home pay. Eventually, the pay got higher and the hours kinder. Each year, expanded operations a little more. It's unclear if Albert's wife, Ethel Swarthout Lorkey, knew what she was getting into when she married him on August 18, 1937. Her husband's hobby must have been mildly annoying in the early days, Albert spending most of his nights and weekends leading up to Christmas in the workshop, cranking out toys. These were the early years, before Ann Arbor really knew who Albert was, before Albert really got going. His secret was revealed on December 2nd, 1939, which changed things for the Warnhoffs. the Ann Arbor News published an article headlined, A Christmas Story for Children. They profiled Albert, including a photo of him working in his tiny basement workshop. The 49-year-old Warnhoff had, that year, made more than 60 toys, which he planned to deliver to sick kids at University Hospital. Quote, Although Mr. Warnhoff has managed to keep his name out of the newspaper, he isn't going to get away with it this year. End quote. That year, Albert's workshop was in the basement of his home at 311 and a half South 5th Street, where Earthen Jar is today. Coverage lit a fire under Albert. Production increased. Did it ever increase? 4 years later, in 1943, the Ann Arbor News checked in on Albert again, this time at 722 Packard, in a house right next to State Street. There, he was putting the finishing touches on 376 toys for little girls and boys. The country was at war in Europe and the Pacific, and raw materials were a little scarce, but Albert's work was already so well known that he was given special dispensation. This included supplementary gas rations so he could make the drive to Ypsilanti that Christmas, delivering toys to kids at the Rackham School of Special Education. It was around this time that Warnhoff and his family moved to 1315 Franklin Boulevard, where the real work began. Albert went from producing hundreds of toys to making thousands. He built rocking horses, intricate wood models of churches and schools, ducks on big wooden wheels that could be pulled around by a long string, windmills that rotated with the turn of a crank, and so much doll furniture. Albert's system was to mass produce a single kind of toy until he hit a self-imposed quota, then switch to the next thing. This is how his workshop turned out an average of 1,500 toys a year by 1952. Even Santa's helper needs some help. The public donated many of the tools Santa's helper's workshop needed. Power saws, band saws, a jigsaw, a drill press, mechanical dust collectors, and swivel chairs, which Albert went through every few years. Calls for materials and accessories for his toys, like handmade dolls or plywood or drapery rods, were always answered. Girl Scouts and women's groups sewed everything from blankets to doll clothes to accompany Warnhoff's wooden creations, and supportive citizens delivered raw materials to 1315 Franklin Boulevard year-round, which is what the operation became, a year-round endeavor. The toys didn't all fit in Albert's workshop, so he stacked them in old Chef Boyardee and empty cake mix boxes, piling them high in the living room, hallways, the bedroom, anywhere boxes full of wooden dolls and furniture and working windmills would fit. Mrs. Warnhoff was supportive of her husband's calling, despite the workshop taking up most of her husband's free time. Albert wasn't a young man anymore. He was in his late 50s following the war and talked about finding a replacement, but he never considered stopping. Didn't even slow down. The basement looks lonely when it's not stacked with toys, he said, so Albert made sure the work never stopped. He was still regularly making 1,000 toys by 1950, but at age 60, his health began failing. Albert suffered a series of heart attacks, and in 1955, at the age of 65, he retired from Fingerly Lumber on orders from his doctors. Albert's wife got sick too. He spent more time taking care of her. His skill in the workshop diminished as well, leading to some serious accidents, one involving an electric saw and his thumb. Though he couldn't work at Fingerly, Albert still got out of the house 5 days a week, working as a crossing guard at 7th and Pauline, guiding school kids across the street. It still gave him plenty of time to slowly, methodically make his toys. In 1956, Albert produced 1,800 toys at the age of 66. That was the year he was featured in Life. Photos spread across two pages, one in his workshop, one next to smiling kids, sharing a moment with his wife in their breakfast nook, lugging a giant sack of toys up the steps of a school in Lansing. Each time he was profiled, Albert talked about finding that successor. I think everyone knew he never intended to slow down, never mind retire as Santa's helper. In 1960, Albert set a record, topping 2,000 toys made. At age 70, he was still hauling sacks of toys up the steps of area hospitals, just to see the smiles on all those faces, maybe set them on the road to recovery. 41,000 toys in 58 years, or thereabouts. Quite a life. On August 15th, 1962, at age 72, Albert Warnhoff died a legend. The community rallied to help keep him well in those final years, raising thousands of dollars for his medical bills. With Albert and his wife living in assisted care in 1961, the Kiwanis Club of Ann Arbor Eastern jumped in to carry on his work that next Christmas, dubbing it Project Warnhoff. But Albert never saw the continuation of his work. Albert Warnhoff is buried in Fairview Cemetery alongside his wife, Ethel. Their three children gave the Warnhoffs at least 13 grandkids, each of whom I'm sure Albert loved to death. His work touched far more kids than those lucky 13, in Ann Arbor and throughout Southeast Michigan. Albert Warnhoff was one of Santa's helpers. One of the good ones, probably the best. Ann Arbor Stories is presented by Rumble Pack Media in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library. This episode was written, researched, and read by me, Rich Reddy, with recording and sound production by Brian Peters. Thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library and their archive staff, who continue to help us locate and research these stories. For this episode, a special shout-out to Debbie Gallagher of the archive staff, who brought the story of Albert Warnhoff to our attention and was the driving force behind our research. Thanks, Debbie. Please follow us on Twitter at Ann Arbor Stories, or drop us a line at annarborstories@gmail.com. We want to hear what you thought of this episode, what other stories you might want to hear, anything. Even rumors, half-truths, legends whispered on the wind, let us know. Thanks again for listening.